Are you with me? Okay. So the Gemara, where today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Nun, and the bottom of Kuf Mem Tes, and the bottom of Kuf Mem Tes Amud Beis, the Gemara states that we're talking about the downfall of Bavel of Nebuchadnezzar, and the pasuk says, Eich Shavas Noge Shavsa Mad Heva. In the death of Nebuchadnezzar, all of the punishment of not the punishment, but the pressure to do avoda, to do service, was canceled. All the oppression that Bavel had in other nations was canceled, and the nation of Bavel, it's called Manheva, was sort of canceled. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav Shafsa Umazu Sheamra Midod Vehave. So the nation that said Madod Vehave, money and gold, and bring the one that the nation that took money and gold from every other nation sort of ceased. Veika de Amri. Veika de Amri, and there are those who say that the word Madheva is a different lashon. Shamra Maod Maod Have, blow me da, bring a lot of money without any limits. The Gemara continues, concludes this idea of Nebuchadnezzar in a drasha of a pasuk in Sefer Daniel about his greatness. The pasuk there says, "Uravu yatira husfas li," that Hashem added, greatness that he had beforehand. And the Gemara says, "What was the greatness?" Amar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bar Abba, Malamit Shirachav al Ari Zachar veKoshar. Tadid Berosho Lakayim Ba Shadebar Vagaim Es Chayas Asidah Sati Lo Lovdo. So when Nebuchadnezzar became king again, so that Hashem gave him greater things. And what was the greater thing that gave him? That he rode on a lion and on this big serpent, and the big serpent was at the head of the lion to fulfill the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which says, and also I've given you the wild beast of the field to serve. Okay. So this is based on the dream of Daniel, or the dream which Daniel deciphered, that after Nebuchadnezzar was punished and sort of became like an animal for 7 years, then he returned to his kingship. And he praised Hashem that he was returned to his kingship. Okay, the Mishnah now is talking about Shtarei Hedyotos, just sort of regular documents, the prohibition of reading just regular documents that you learn from the pasuk. That reading in these mundane documents, so you're involved in your chafetzim on Shabbos and your personal needs on Shabbos. You shouldn't be involved in those personal needs even through dibur, through speech, because the pasuk, this pasuk from Yeshayahu, says v'daber davar. That now our mission is going to bring a Tana who discusses speech or other types of business, weekday business that's forbidden on Shabbos. You learn from this pasuk. The Mishnah says lo yiskor adam pali b'shabbos. Person should not hire workers on Shabbos. Velo yomar adam lachaver liskor lo pali. You can't tell your friend to hire workers on Shabbos. Ein machshichim al tchum. You're not allowed to go on Shabbos to the end of the tchum Shabbos, to wait there until it gets dark, so that immediately when Shabbos ends, you'll get closer to the place that is outside the tchum, so you can be liskor lo palim, so you can hire workers there. Ula havi peros, or to bring fruit. So in other words, anything that you cannot do on Shabbos, you're also not allowed to go to the end of the tchum, walk a certain distance, so it'll be easier to do that malacha immediately at the onset of at when Shabbos ends. Aval bach shichu lishmor. However, you're allowed to come close to the borders of the tchum Shabbos, where you can walk, 2,000 hours outside city limits, lishmor, to guard fruits that are found there. Because guarding fruits are that act is permitted on Shabbos. You ought to watch your fruits so no one steals it on Shabbos. Right now, your fruits are out to the tchum, but you can walk towards the edge of the tchub so you can get there after Shabbos to do something which would be permitted on Shabbos. And the only issue is you're not allowed to walk there on Shabbos. But you're allowed to walk to the outskirts of your tchub to do an action after Shabbos that would be permitted for you to do on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to go to the outskirts, you're not allowed to walk towards the edge of the tchub so you can get to an area outside the tchum to do a malacha that would be forbidden on Shabbos. And he says, "V'maybe peros abiyado." And then once it's nighttime, and then on Shabbos you can bring peros. Since your main intent was just to guard the fruit, so then once you're there, you're also allowed to detach fruits as well. Klal Amar Abba Shal. So this is the rule that Abba Shal says. Anything where I can tell my friend or non-Jew to do on Saturday night, I am allowed to go towards the ends of the ends of the borders of Tchum to do for those purposes. So we're going to see some other things that this includes, and then the Gemara will explain those things. So the Gemara says, Maishna hu, Maishna chaveira. What's the difference between you and your friend? Why the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to hire workers on Shabbos, and you can't tell your friend to hire workers on Shabbos. What's the chiddush about the second thing that's aser? Because just like you can't do a malach on Shabbos, to tell someone else to do a malach on Shabbos, that's a violation of lifnei iver lo titein michshol. You're not allowed to place a stumbling block in front of someone. Amar Papa chaver nachri. So we're talking about, let's say you have a non-Jewish friend. So just like you're not allowed to hire workers, you're not allowed to tell you're not the non-Jew, not to hire workers. Maskla Ravashi Amir Lanachi Shvus. This is a rabbinic prohibition. We already know about that. So Elabar Ravashi Afilu Teba Chaver Yisrael. Now even if we're talking about a Jewish friend, Hakabash Vela Lo Yomar Adav LaChavero Schorli Poalim Aval Over Adav LaChavero Hadiresh Tabot Ibi LaArav. What he really wants to tell you, what he says, this he says, you can't tell your friends, you know, hire for me workers, but you're allowed to tell your friend, you think you can stay with me in the evening? It would be nice if you can be with me, you know, towards the ending of Shabbos, you know, right after Shabbos. And both of them know that your intent through that lashon, through that language, is that I want you to hire workers. Again, in this instance, you're not saying forbidden speech, even though your intent is about malacha. Here, right, here we're saying that only speech is forbidden. That's in that song, Mayudidus. What do we say? Hirhuri mutarim. That thoughts are permitted. Thoughts to do balacha after Shabbos are permitted, but speech is forbidden. So here you're simply saying, Hadirashi Tabaribi La'arev, that speech alone is not something which is forbidden malacha. But even though you both intend, and you know what you're intending, that you want him to hire workers Saturday night, so then that's still not permitted because it's only thought of malacha. Masnisin mani, who was Abisha like? Kiv Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, this is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha who allows it. The Tanya, because we have a brisa which says it's explicit. Lo yomar odem lachaver derashat tabod ibi l'arav. The first opinion in the brisa says you can't tell your friend on Shabbos, you think you can stay with me in the evening? Because obviously the first opinion holds that thoughts are forbidden. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says that Ober Adam Lachaver Hanirash Tamar Yibil Arav. He allows it, and that's what we assume our Mishnah is talking about. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Rabbi Yochanan says Halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. This is permitted. What's the reason of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha who says you're allowed to do it? Like I just said, that only speech is forbidden, but thought is permitted. Rabbi Leirvacha bar Rav Huda leRava. Rav Acha bar Rav Huda asked Rava, "Bia bar Yochanan dibur aser hirhu mutar." Does Rav Yochanan indeed say that speech is forbidden and thought is permitted? Alba hirhu lav kedibur dami. So what do we see from here? That thought is not like speech. V'haba Rava bar Rachan Rav Yochanan b'chol b'chol mutar lahara chutz beis haberchus beis hakise. That you're always allowed to think divrei Torah except in the bathhouse and in the bathroom, because there's dirty there. So the fact that Rabbi Yochanan says that you're not allowed to think divrei Torah in the bathhouse and in the bathroom, what do we see? That thought is like speech. Okay, so the Gemara says, Shadi Hasa, that's different over there. Devaita Vahayu Bacharecha Kodosh Veleka. There, there's a specific pasuk that says that your camp has to be holy, and that Klal Yisrael are always thinking about Divrei Torah, and so therefore there's an explicit pasuk that says, specifically when it comes to Divrei Torah in the bathroom, so specifically there, we treat Hirhor like Dibor, that even Hirhor is significant, but that's not the general principle. So so also, when it comes to the prohibition of divrei kedusha in a dirty place, it doesn't say the prohibition of hirhor, but it just says speech, because the pasuk just says v'lo yir'eh b'cha ervas davar. It just says the word dibor. So you want to say, by this issue of thinking divrei Torah in a bathroom, so there's a special rule that hirhor is forbidden. No, the Torah never says that. The Torah only uses the lashon of re'iya, of seeing. So that should not be seen amongst you when you speak divrei kedusha. Notice, seeing means are perceived. That only something that only. Something with only divrei Torah, which is perceived, is forbidden in a bathhouse. So the fact that Rabbi Yochanan holds there that even though the Torah only says that something which is perceived is forbidden, and yet we say it includes hirhor, so then it should apply also in all cases hirhor kedibur davi. So the Gemara answers. Gemara says, "Hahu that pasuk v'lo yibchal v'as davar is miboy lei licht Rabbi Yehuda." No, that pasuk is specific. That pasuk specifically tells you that there's a prohibition to look at erva, to look at someone who's not, a woman who's not clothed, when you say words of kedusha. The Rabbi Huda says, "Akum arum asher likros kriya shema kedegdo," a non-Jew, and certainly the Gemara is going to explain later on why it mentions a non-Jew, but certainly also a Jew who is unclothed, you can't recite Kriya Shema opposite the person because they're unclothed, and that's why it says V'lo Yevcha Ervas Davar. Okay, but you are allowed to think. There, you're allowed to think Divrei Torah opposite. You're allowed to think Kriya Shema. You're allowed to think Divrei Shebikdusha opposite someone who's unclothed. So that's specifically when it comes to erva. But when it comes to Vahaya Machanecha Kadosh, so that when it comes to Kedusha, that's even thought. So in other words, what we conclude from here is that there's a specific halacha of Vahaya Machanecha Kadosh that simply when it comes to Kedusha, Divrei Kedusha, you can't have in the bathroom based on Vahaya Machanecha Kadosh. And don't apply that to any other instance. Any other instance, it's only Re'iyah, which is, it's only speech, which is forbidden, but thought is permitted on Shabbos. The Gemara now is going to clarify why Rabbi Huda mentions the erva that of a non-Jew. My iria akum afil yishonami. You even can't say dvarim shebikdush in front of a Jew. Lomi by kamar. What Rabbi Huda mentions a non-Jew, he's saying not only, meaning what? Lomi by Yisrael da'aser aval akum kevin d'ksibe asher b'sar chamrim b'saram ema shaper dami. Now when it comes to a Jew, so obviously that's forbidden. But maybe a non-Jew, since the Yecheskel compares them, says the flesh of the donkeys, their flesh is like the flesh of their donkeys. In other words, it's saying that they have a lot of taiva, they have a lot of desires. The Egyptians have a lot of desires, like an animal. I guess in those days, the Egyptians had a lot of taiva to engage in immorality. So maybe Eba Shapir Dabi, maybe you're allowed to recite Kriyat Shema in front of a non-Jewish woman who is unclothed. So Kamash, because they're compared to an animal in this respect, Kamash Balan, we say that's not the case. Eba HaKadabi, why don't we say indeed that you are allowed to read in front of them? Amar Krav, Eva Sabim Lo Ra'o. So we see that the erva of the, when it came to the story of Noach and he was unclothed and and Canaan and Ham were un, they saw his un, you know he was unclothed in front of them, and that's why he cursed them out. So it says that Yefes and Shem did not see the erva of their father. So even though Noah was not a Jew, it's still called an erva. So you see the erva of a non-Jew is still called an erva. The Gemara is now going to ask Rav Yochanan about dibur chol of weekday speech, whether it's forbidden on Shabbos from the pasuk of Mitzol Chetzcha v'Daber Davar. The dibur miaser is really speech forbidden from the Torah. V'har Rav Chista v'Rav Hamnuna Domri Tarvayo Cheshbol Shel Mitzvah Mutar L'Cheshbon B'Shabbos. They say that, let's say you're trying to calculate how much money you need for poor people on to help them out, that you can calculate on Shabbos. Or V'Lazar Poskim Tzachalim B'Shabbos, you're allowed to collect, not as calculating, but even collecting money collecting money for, or just distributing or saying you're going to distribute for the different people. You're saying, not in collecting, but you're saying you're going to distribute the certain amount to different people. That's all spirited on Shabbos. Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Rav Yochanan, Mefachim, Pikuach Nefesh, Pikuach Rabim, B'Shabbos. You can examine, you can think about things that are Pikuach Nefesh, and also to deal with the king, things you have to deal with the government, for the tzibur, for the masses on Shabbos. You can also do that. Even allowed to go in shuls in order to deal with public matters on Shabbos. From Shmuel Bar Nachmanim, Rav Yochanan, Hochili Trotios Ulakark Saos, believe Seal Kaos. You're allowed to go to different temples. Why Lafakech Iski Rav Shabbos, in order to deal with pressing public needs on Shabbos, even where the non-Jews gather. V'tara Devei Menashe, Mishadchim Al Tinokos. You can lay Aresh, you make Shiduchim on Shabbos. And also the Al Tinok Lelamdo Sefer, and all on a child to. You can also hire a malamed, a teacher, to teach a child on Shabbos. Ulamdo umnos, and you can also hire someone to teach him a trade, which is also mitzvah Shabbos. So Amar, how can you do all these things? So Amar Krab, so chefs chavdavir davar, chafotzecha suri, vo chefsi shemai mutari. So what's forbidden is your own personal needs, but needs that involve a mitzvah, those are permitted on Shabbos. So you're allowed to discuss chefzei shemayim, you know, needs for a mitzvah on Shabbos, but not your own personal needs. Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Shmuel, cheshbono shel melech shel ma bikach mutar lechashu b'Shabbos. So he says, for example, these needs, like the needs, the cheshbonos of a king, like why do you care? There's no real need, or I guess he's saying anything that's not personal. I guess he's saying that anything like calculation, just like Stam talking about things that are not mitzvah. They're not about a mitzvah, but they're not necessarily about your own needs, like what the king is doing, or things that needs of the past, but there's no need now. You're allowed to think about them on Shabbos, or you're allowed to calculate them on Shabbos as well, because they're not about your own personal needs that you need right now. Tayyid Abi Hachi, Cheshbonu Sha'avru, past calculations. She'asim li'os al shel cheshbon. Let's say you didn't pay workers their salary, but also that you're going to need to pay them in the future. So making those calculations, that you can't calculate on Shabbos. Shel melech, if there's no need at all, then, and shel mabakach, like past needs, mutar l'choshvan, that you can calculate on Shabbos. So, Ruminhu, and we have a question on this from another brisa, which says, choshvim cheshbono she'enam tzrichim. You can calculate the unnecessary cheshbonos that don't have a purpose. And you're not allowed to calculate things that do have a purpose. B'Shabbos, on Shabbos. Ketzad. So what's an example? Omer Adam Lachaveir, B'Kach V'Kach Po'alim Hotzesi. I hire these number of workers, I'll set a zoo for this field. That you, and that's fine. Kafa kakti darbo tesi al dirazu. I spent $500,000 to build this house. But these are all in the past, and there's no purpose in the future. Because the goal, of course, is you're not supposed to be thinking about your needs, your own personal needs on Shabbos, only spiritual things. You can't say, oh, I spent $500,000 in this field and this house, and I'm going to spend another $100,000 to finish the work. Because this has some need, and it's forbidden. But we see from the ratio of the Braisa, the first part of the Braisa, that cheshbonos of the past are permitted, and that goes against the earlier Braisa that said that they were that it is forbidden. So the Gemara says, Navali Tameh, and according to your reasoning, Kashalachi Gufa, you should ask on the first Braisa itself. Because in the first Braisa, in the ratio of the first Braisa, it says you cannot calculate cheshbonos, calculations of the past, and the Sefer allows you to do that. Ella, ha de ika agra de gira gabe. He's saying the cheshbonos of the past that are forbidden are only in a situation where there still is, where you still have to pay some workers. You haven't finished paying the workers yet. You haven't paid all of them. And therefore, you're calculating a cheshbon of the past that maybe you owed in the past, but you still need to pay them, and therefore this type of past calculation is forbidden. And ha deleke igra dagira gabe. If you've already paid everyone and you don't need to pay anyone anymore, so then you don't. Then these type of cheshbonos are permitted. The Mishnah says ein machshichin. So you don't go to the edge of the Tchum Shabbos to hire workers and to bring fruit. Tadu Rabbanan, rabbis teach. There's a story of a pious person that there was a breach in the fence b'selch sadeh in his field. And he saw this breach on Shabbos, and he thought about it, he thought about how am I going to fence this up on Shabbos. And his question Shabbos, so he realized it was Shabbos. But even also chasiv lo gidra, and he never closed the fence forever, because he penalized himself. But asalo days for also bo tzlaf, a miracle happened, and in that breach a tree grew, and there were so many branches of different types of fruits, and therefore that closed up the breach. Bumimena hoisa parnasosa parnas ad shebeso, and from that provided sustenance from his family. But it seems that this was a chassid. This was above and beyond, because thought is generally hirhurim is typically permitted, but he was going above and beyond. But he was rewarded for it. We see. Okay. In any case, we're going to talk about different types of situations where it's permitted to have weekday speech on Shabbos. A person is allowed to tell his friend on Shabbos, I am going to a different city tomorrow, Lebachar, She'im yesh burgadim holech. Why? Even though it's outside of Tchum right now, you never know, there could be these different huts where these shomrim are, where these guards are, like little watchman towers or little watchman huts. Then you can, if they're spread out, then you can, they're along the way, then you're allowed to go to the other city. Now, let's say between two cities, you have 2,000 amos to go. But if within every 70 amos, we have another one of these watchman huts, so then you can walk from one town to the other town. I think that's what you have, I think, between Oceanside and Long Beach. I think there was a question about whether you can walk from Oceanside to Long Beach on Shabbos. Is it outside the Tchum? I think we believe that within 70 amos, there's always something. So, Tanan, the Mishnah, we learn the Mishnah. We don't walk to the end of the Tchum to hire workers and to bring fruit. I understand that you can't go to the end to hire workers, because on Shabbos, there's no way you can hire workers. Ella lahavi peros lema sheim yesh hamachitzos maybe. Why are you saying that you can't go to the end of the tchum on Shabbos, that in order to bring fruits outside the tchum on Shabbos? Because maybe that there will be, maybe somehow, if there were walls, that fences, basically, between where you are and the where the fruits are, if all of a sudden they went up, then you would be allowed to, to do this on Shabbos. And therefore, it should be permitted to go to the end of the tchum. So meshkachas la beperus hamechubarim. We're talking about a situation where you say, "I want to go to," or you're thinking that you want to walk to the end of the tchum in order to not merely bring fruits from outside the tchum, but to cut the fruits, to pick the fruits from the tree, and then bring them back. There's no way, no matter what the situation is on Shabbos, there's no way you'd be allowed to do it. So in other words, we would, if even if you're right, even though right now there are no, there's no fence, there's no walls between you and the fruit, nevertheless, since there's a possibility that it would be permitted, so in that instance, you would be allowed to be machshich al tchum, you'd be allowed to walk to the end of the tchum. But since in a case where they're connected to the fruit, so there's no way that would be permitted. But Tari Rav Hoshaya Ein Machshichid Al Tchum L'Havi Tevin Bekash. But Rav Hoshaya says in the Braisa they can't even walk at the end of the Tchum to bring straw. And Bishlo Mishkach L'Bim Chubar Ela Tevin Hechem Mitatala. I understand Kash. I guess, so the Kash, so that's straw that is connected, and you can't harvest it on Shabbos, but I guess straw, tevet, I guess, is after it's detached. And so why can't you walk to the end of the tchum to bring tevet? Because that maybe there would be mechitzos, and since if there would be mechitzos, you could walk there. And since theoretically you might be able, there's a possibility you could walk there, then why shouldn't you be allowed to walk to the end of the tchum to bring tevet? So the answer is betim desaria. We're talking about rotting and smelling teven that's not fit for animal consumption, that there's no way you can bring it in a permissible manner because it's muksa. Okay. The Gemara now says, Tashba, machshichi mal tchum lefakeach. You're allowed to go to the end of the tchum in order to lefakeach al iske kal viske ames, in order to investigate, I don't know, let's say you want, there's someone a little bit outside the tchum, and you need to deal with that person about wedding issues or on someone passed away and burying the person. So Iske Kalva Beis, Ian, I understand when it comes to Iske Kal and Iske Beis. These are mitzvos. So, and this is permitted. You can be involved in discussing mitzvah things on Shabbos. But al Iske Acher Lo, but on other matters, you're not allowed to. So, right, so that seems to indicate that you're not allowed to go down to tchum for any other matter. And now we have a question. Bishlama acher dumya de kal mishkachas la lemizga leasa. So I understand when it says that anything similar to, like, what are needs of a kala? So in other words, you need to go out to tchum for needs of a kala. So I understand there, maybe you need to bring a chair. So bringing a chair, to detach the branches of a hadas. So they would do that for a chuppah. So this is an example of a malacha. In other words, you're allowed to go to the end of the tchum on Shabbos. So right after Shabbos, you can get to a hadas branch and cut it off as a preparation to make a chuppah for a kala. Because here, right, so that's what we're talking about, because that's for a mitzvah. Ela mace mainihu, but what's an example of a mace of a situation where you're going to the end of the tchum in order to do a malacha for a mace after Shabbos? What's the case? So mainihu. So lahavi lo aron v'tachrichi. Maybe it's to bring the coffin and shrouds. V'katani Mace'in aval acher lo. So what do we see? It's only permitted for a mace and not for someone else. V'amai, why is that true? Why is it only permitted to bring something for the mace and not to bring something for someone else? Lema she'im yesha mechitzos maybe. Why don't you say again, like what we said, that if there were walls between you and where the aron and the shrouds were, then you could bring it itself. So Gemara says, "Meishna mishachla lemigzalei glima." No, maybe the case is when we're saying that for a mace, yes; for other things, no. We're talking about to cut the shrouds, to fix them to the size of the mace. So this is a malacha that's only permitted. Again, this is a malacha. So we're saying that you're allowed to walk to the end of the tchum, so that right after Shabbos you can have access to a shroud that you can cut to measure for a mace, and that's only permitted for a mace and not for a mundane purpose. Okay. The Mishnah now says, Aval machshichin, you're allowed to go to the end of the tchum in order simply so that right after Shabbos you can go and watch your fruit. And the Gemara says, Afagav delo avdil. And is that true that you're even allowed to do this malacha even before you make Abdallah? That's what it seems like. You're not to do your needs before you recite Abdallah. And the Gemara at this stage thinks that the person who went to the edge of the Tchum certainly did not make Abdallah. And if you want to say that he made Havdalah during davening, you said, If you make Havdalah by tefillah, you still have to make Havdalah on a kos. If you can say that the person made Havdalah on a cup of wine, there's no cup. Who's going to find a cup of wine in the field? I guess the case is, you got to go to the edge of the Tchum, 2,000 hours outside city limits. There are no kosos of yayin there. So Tirgmar of Nasan Baravime Kame, the Rava Bain Hagita Shahu. We're talking about a situation where what are you doing? You're outside city limits, you're in the field, and you have to be where? By a wine press. And there are grapes there. And I guess there's a lot of wine there in the field. So you can make Abdullah there. Okay. Abar Leir V'Abab L'Ravashi. Rav Abba said to Ravashi, B'ba Rava Min Hachi, in Eretzua we say this. Hamavdil ben kodesh l'chol. You can say hamavdil ben kodesh l'chol without a bracha. Without a bracha, without a cup. You say bracha without a cup, but ben kodesh l'chol. And just to show that I'm escorting the king, you know, I'm sort of accompanying the Shabbos queen away. Vavdinan tzarchid, and then you can do all the malachos. And then you can recite havdalah kos afterwards. So what he's saying is that you don't have to give this answer that you're talking about a situation where you're by the wine press and you're making Abdallah al-Kos. No, you're allowed to say Baruch HaBadah Mikosh L'chol, and then you're allowed to do Malacha on Shabbos, on Motzei Shabbos. And then afterwards you can say Abdallah al-Kos. And that's how we hold, obviously. We, many of us, right, we drive home from shul, even, let's say, what we don't have in mind on the Havdalah that people were setting shul. Let's say like nowadays, right? We're not making Havdalah in shul. So how are we driving home from shul, those who are driving home? You say Baruch HaMadim Kol Shechol, you say Atachar Antanu in Shvat Esrei. That allows you to do Melacha. You're not allowed to eat before you recite Havdalah ala Kos. But you're allowed to do Melacha once you say Baruch HaMadim Kol Shechol, or just when you say Havdalah in Shvat Esrei. And similarly, Amar Av Ashi Ki Avina Bei Rav Kahana, when I was in the house of Rav Kahana, Av Amar, he would say, "Hamadam mikosh l'chol umisal tinan silte." At that point, we would then chop wood. Okay, we'll stop here, and we'll continue going tomorrow.